The Inside Aperture podcast introduces you to the experts who use Apple's professional image management application to organize, edit, and output their pictures. Each show features tips and techniques that will help you improve the quality of your photography and bring efficiency to your workflow.
Hi, I'm Derek Stork with O'Reilly Media, and I'm here with Joe Shore. In the afterglow of the 2.0 release, I have a couple things here that I want to ask you about. Let's start with the trial version, because the reason why I'm asking this, we just had an update recently to the standard app. How does that work now for folks that are using the trial?
This is a great thing to talk about. We released Aperture 2.01, and so if you have the trial, maybe that you downloaded last week or 2 weeks ago, what do you do? Well, our trial versions are not updatable via software update, but there's an easy solution for this. So if you've been using Aperture 2 trial and you want to make sure that you're using this newest version, because we did some nice performance fixes and other things to make the app even more stable and a little tighter, all you do is go back and download the trial again. So as of a few days ago, we actually updated the trial version to Aperture 2.01 trial. So just download the new one, replacing the 2.0 trial that you already did, and it'll just pick up where the other one leaves off. So if you've already used up 1 week of your trial, you'll have 3 weeks left using 2.01.
Do you have any tips for trial users, especially if they have existing libraries or whatever? Should they just think about this as a thing unto itself, you know, so they can get a feel for the app? Or, you know, because you don't get the project files with the trial. That was one thing that I discovered. Do you have just any general tip for trial users trying to get used to it?
A couple of ideas come to mind. So one is we actually did make a change in the 2.01 trial. I don't think I mentioned this to you when we were chatting earlier, is we now include the full documentation with the trial version. So the download is mysteriously larger than it was originally. That's all the docs. And, you know, Aperture comes with hundreds of pages of user guide, as well as a smaller document called Exploring Aperture, which allows you to just sort of quickly dive in. And there's a keyboard shortcut guide. So all of this documentation is now available via the help menu. It's all there. So I would actually recommend, even if you're not concerned about the 2.01 update, you might want to go grab that trial again if you still have some of your 30 days left, just to get all of those docs. So that's one thing I'd recommend, is at least check out the Exploring Aperture. The other thing I'd really recommend is taking a look, if you haven't already, at the tutorials, which, you know, we really consider these part of the product. We link to them from within the application, although they live on Apple.com. But we actually put together a couple of hours of training when you add up all these tutorials. There's over 50. And they're broken up into these little two-minute sections. I'd really recommend spend a little time getting in there and watching how the features work, and then you have a much better starting point. So that's another thing I'd recommend. Then finally, as regards the trial and how to use it, with the Aperture 2 trial, we did something different. We actually have it create its own unique trial library. And we needed to do that. We wanted to do that because we didn't want anybody to get into the situation where they inadvertently upgraded their existing Aperture library to 2, and then if they decided at the end of the trial they weren't ready to buy, you'd be stuck with a library that your old copy of Aperture can't read. We realized that would be a very bad customer experience. We didn't want anyone to fall into that. So the trial creates its own, you know, library. You can't use the trial to upgrade your old library until you buy a serial number and then license it, and then of course it works just like a real copy of Aperture. But this doesn't mean that you can't really test out the app. It is fully functional. There is nothing turned off in the trial. So what you might want to do is, if you want to sort of look at your projects that you had created in Aperture 1.5, you can export those projects out of Aperture 1.5 and then import those into the trial version, or just grab some original, you know, other photos that you have that aren't part of Aperture's library and bring those in. But there's no limit. I mean, you can import, you know, 100,000 images into the trial and really give it a run. In fact, I'd recommend that, because the performance with tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of images is really amazingly good. So we want people to really give it a workout, but we didn't want people to accidentally upgrade libraries that they didn't intend to.
On the site, it says 100 new features. There's actually a couple more, aren't there?
Yes, there are. I mean, this is what happens when you spend, you know, a year and a half working on an application and refining stuff. When it came time to list out all of the work that we did, we came up with this list of over 100 things that's documented on our website. But the interesting thing is, as we've been using the application and showing it to customers, we keep realizing, we on the team keep realizing, oh, there's other things that we never even got to put on the list that are actually there. So there's even more enhancements than people realize.
I've got one. This is one for people with the newer machines and that have the multi-touch trackpad. Aperture recognizes gestures, right?
Yes, it does. And I don't think that's on our list. Obviously, Aperture 2 was in development while we were working on our first machines to introduce multi-touch, like the MacBook Air and now the new MacBook Pros. So Aperture is probably one of our most gesture-savvy applications at Apple. There's a couple of really cool things you can do. If you're looking at your thumbnail grid, you know, looking just at the thumbnail browser, you can use the pinch expand gesture. It's a podcast without video, so you can't see what I'm doing now, but I'm doing a pinching gesture, like a little crab claw. But that will grow and shrink your thumbnails. It's really kind of cool. One that I really like is you put three fingers together, and then when you have an image selected, like in the grid in the browser, you can just brush your three fingers across the trackpad, and that is the equivalent of just hitting the arrow key. So you can just move through your images one after the other. And another really cool gesture is involves the loop. So you bring the loop up, and now you've always been able to use two fingers on your trackpad as a scroll wheel. So that increases and decreases the zoom level, right? But now you can use the pinch gesture to actually grow and shrink the loop. So it's pretty cool. It certainly impresses your friends and family when they see you working in Aperture and you're pinching the loop smaller and larger. So there's actually about a 10 or a dozen different gestures that we've written into the app. They're worth checking out if you have one of the newer machines.
Hey, okay, here's another one that I'm curious about. This is a real basic one. This isn't actually a feature, but I just want to touch on it real quick. If you have multiple libraries, when you launch now, you can hold down the Option key and choose your library. Is it like an iTunes thing?
Yes. Previously, you had always been able to just double-click on a library to launch it. But if you don't want to go and look at where those libraries are, and if you do maintain multiple libraries for any particular reason, this is a great thing to remember, is hold down the Option key as you launch the app. You will get a dialog that asks you, do you want to create a new library or do you want to open one that exists? And then you can click the open button, navigate to the library that you want, and open it up.
And then you were telling me about something, and you actually showed me this, and I like this a lot. There's some good keyboard shortcuts now when you're working in the adjustment palette. For people that really like to use keyboards instead of mouse clicking, they can really move through the adjustment palette quicker now. What are some of those?
So, you know, you have these features that people have been asking for, you know, like 2 years that it's great to finally see in there. And this is one of them. We have a lot of users who they really love to drive from the keyboard. And they like to make their adjustments, you know, kind of just nudging, you know, adjustments a little bit to the left, a little bit to the right. And so one of the things that we've added, and I think this is another one that didn't make our 100 features list, although it's kind of a biggie, is the ability to drive your adjustments panel from the keyboard. And the way you do this is next to each slider, there's a numeric field in your adjustments. Like if you look at exposure, you've got the slider, which you moved left and right, but then there's a numeric field just to the right. And what you do is you single click. You don't double click because double clicking is to actually type in a number. Mm-hmm. But a single click actually selects that field. And once you've done that now, your right and left arrow keys will actually move the adjustment. So I can now increase or decrease exposure or recovery or black point, brightness, contrast. You go right down the list. Right and left arrows or up and down arrows are going to change that value. For example, with exposure, it changes it, you know, in increments. It goes from 0 to, you know, 0.1, 0.2, 0.3. If you hold down the Option key with any of these adjustments, now it moves it to 0.01, 0.02. So it kind of gears it down by a factor of 10.
Another thing that you mentioned has to do with round tripping, actually, in Photoshop. And it seemed like one of the problems we had before is the master, even if you had a reference library, the new master would end up back in your regular Aperture library.
Yes. Yeah, let me explain this. So this is another one that isn't on our 100 features list, but I think is a pretty important change. You have an image that, as you mentioned, is a referenced image because you want to keep your Aperture library relatively small, and you have your master images stored in other media, other drives that maybe are connected to your machine. And then you go to round trip out to Photoshop. So, of course, the way we do that is we have to create a TIFF or a PSD file that you can then use in Photoshop. So we create that file and you make your adjustments and save them, and then you're back to Aperture and it's a part of your library. The way Aperture 1.5 worked is that new TIFF or PSD file would automatically get saved into the project in the Aperture library. So the problem there was that even if you had all your files referenced, your aperture library would grow by that amount each time you did this round tripping. And if you did a lot of round tripping, you know, if you had a lot of work that you were going out to do in Photoshop, lo and behold, your aperture library is, you know, for a lot of users who didn't understand what was going on here, is like mysteriously growing fatter and fatter every day. So what we do now is a bit more intelligent. What we do is look at where is the master, where was the original file, and then since we have to create essentially what amounts to a new master with these Photoshop changes burned into it, we put that wherever the original was. So if your, you know, master content is on an external drive that you connect up every day to your laptop, for example, that's where it gets saved. And your aperture library remains, you know, really just the database with the previews and thumbnails and is referencing everything externally. So I think that's a good change that will help on the workflow.
That's actually a very nice change. So, and the other thing that came in the update, but we're not going to talk about it today. I'm actually going to go track down Sal, but I just want to touch on it briefly. The Apple scripting story with Aperture 2.0 is great. We'll do a whole show with Sal, but do you just have a couple, you know, overarching remarks you want to make before we close today?
Yeah, sure. You know, I think from the start, Aperture has had AppleScript support that we've been able to really use to our advantage. And I mean, you can really create some interesting workflows, as many users have. I'm really excited about the fact that in version 2, we didn't just let this sort of stagnate, but have really moved the AppleScript support forward in some pretty dramatic ways. So there's some really cool things that can happen now. We've added some additional verbs to the AppleScript dictionary. In fact, some of those actually got added in this 201 update that we just mentioned earlier, so that you can now script the ability to, you know, select and reveal an image within Aperture's library, move it to a different project or copy it into a different project. And we've added something that we've been calling fingerprinting, where we attach a unique identifier to each image preview so that as you use these previews, as you drag them from the media browser into other applications, we now have a scriptable way of finding your way back into Aperture to do something with those images. And I'm going to let Sal talk about the details there, but basically we have paved the way for some incredibly sophisticated publishing workflows where you can really keep, you know, Aperture can really become this repository for all your photos, and then you can use them everywhere, but always get back to the originals when you need them. And I just think it's going to make it a lot easier for people to integrate Aperture into a larger workflow picture.
I'm going to go track down Sal, and we'll try to get that up as a show after this one. Great seeing you again, and we'll be talking very soon.
Thanks a lot.
The Inside Aperture podcast is produced by O'Reilly Media. To learn more about Aperture, be sure to visit digitalmedia.oreilly.com/aperture for articles, tutorials, blogs, and podcasts. This show is produced on a Mac using Soundtrack Pro. See you next time. We'll